Welcome back, everybody, to Daf Yomi. Today we are up to Daf Chaf, the final Daf in the first parak of Maseches Bava Metzia. We're going to try to finish the parak today. We are on 19b3, Yud Tes Amud Beis, by the two dots on the bottom, about five lines up from the bottom, fourth word on the line. So, says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan Matzah Shover. So remember, we were discussing different types of documents that you're not supposed to return, and then we gave certain situations where you are maybe allowed to return them and why they might be different. So let's say you found a receipt. Bizman Shayisha Mode Yachzer Labal. So what are we talking about with this receipt? What kind of receipt is this? We're talking about a husband who prepaid his ksuba. Right? We're talking about a husband who decided to prepay the money that would potentially be owed to the woman if they were to get divorced. So she would have to go and get her ksuba. How much is ksuba? Either money or masayim, whatever it is. So he's prepaying the ksuba, and now there's a receipt. So when the woman admits and says, yes, he really did prepay the receipt, then you give the husband the receipt. You can go and give it back to show that he did pay his ksuba. Ein aisha modeh, but if she did not admit that this payment happened, lo yachzer, lo lazeh, lo lazeh, then you can't give back this receipt to the husband or to the wife. You can't give it back to anyone. Says the Gemara again, the same line of questioning that we had yesterday. Bizmancha aisha modeh. When the woman admits, Mias Yachzer Labal, is it really true that we could say that you're going to return it to the husband? Dilma Kasva La Litein Benis. Ad Tishrei. So maybe we're going to have the same concern. What's going to happen? You're going to write it in Nisan, but you're not actually going to give the payment until Tishrei. The Azla Zavnasa Liksubasa Betovasana Minisan Ad Tishrei. And then she goes and sells her Tovasana of the Ksuba. What does it mean to have Tovasana of the Ksuba? So what happens is let's say you have a woman who's married. So she could sell the rights to her Ksuba, which are not going to sell for all that much. Because number one, maybe they'll stay married for a very, very long time. Also, if she dies first, there is no Ksuba collection. So someone would be buying the rights to the Ksuba, assuming that either they're going to get divorced soon or he's going to die. So you're not going to pay all that much. Let's say there's a $10,000 potential, so maybe you'll pay $1,000. You're not going to pay all that much. So she sells her Tovas Hana between the months of Nisan and Tishrei, right? Even though there's a shtar written up from Nisan, but he didn't actually pay her until Tishrei. So he's going to go and do that. Umapiklei Leshover. Now he's going to go to this buyer, the guy who bought the Tovas Hana. He's going to go and show the receipt that says Nisan, meaning he's going to go and show, look, I paid my wife her ksuba in Nisan, so you have no right to go and collect any of this money, and then this lokeach is going to lose out. So we should have the same back and forth that we had yesterday. We should have the same thing when it comes to an early receipt by a premature ksuba payment. It says Gemara Marava Shma Mina. So what we see to see from here, from the fact that we're not concerned about this, shows that we hold the Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel says, "Amocher Shtarchov l'chaveru v'chazor m'chalo machol." Shmuel has a very, very big chiddush, which appears in a few different Gemaras. What's this chiddush of Shmuel? That let's say you have someone who's has a Shtarchov, and you sell this debt to someone else, so you're able to go back and still be mochel on that debt, even though you sold that debt. Meaning, I guess you'd have to pay them back, I'm sure, but you're able to be mochel on such a debt. So therefore, since the woman still has the power in this situation to be mochel her ksuba, that's why we're going to trust it and we're not going to be worried. Because even if she wanted to be mochel it at a later date, that's still going to be okay. V'afilu yorish mochel. And even if you were yorish, it still could be mochel. Yorish can also be mochel in such a situation. Comes the Gemara, we're on the third line, on daf chaf min aleph. Abaye Amar Abaye says, "Afilu tema leisig l'shmuel." No, we can even say that you don't have to be assuming like Shmuel. But hachem mayaskinan b'shestar ksuba yotzi mitachas yada. That what are we talking about? We're talking about a situation where she still has the shtar ksuba in her hands. So why are we not concerned that maybe someone else bought this ksuba rights from her? Because she's still holding on to the ksuba. And if she's still holding on to the ksuba, we can assume that there is no such sale made. V'rav, and it sounds like though if she was not holding on to the ksuba, then we would be concerned for such a thing. V'rava Amar, Rava says, Imishem shtar ksuba chayshinan l'shtei ksubos. And Rava said, I can't hold like that. The reason why I couldn't hold what Abaye says, that if she's holding on to the shtar, then it's going to be okay, is because I'm choshesh that maybe there's two ksubos. Maybe there were two documents written up, and one of them she sold and gave to this buyer, and one of them she's holding on to. Abaye says back, no, chada, first of all, l'shtei ksubos lo chashinan. We don't have to worry that maybe there was a second ksuba document written up. V'od shover bizmano tarif. And also we have this concept that this shover can go bizman, meaning even if it's after the fact, as long as you're going to, as long as you're going to have a shofar that's written at that time, you're able to collect it no matter when it is, as long as the shofar has a date on it that's written, you're able to collect it from that time. Abaye l'tamei, and this is Abaye l'shitas, d'amar edav b'chasumav zachin lo. And this goes back to Abaye's reasoning that Edim can go back and can certify something from that time because of this concept that we saw yesterday of zachin l'adam shelo b'fanav, that Edim, once they sign on something, even if it didn't actually happen yet, we're able to go from that time. So let's again just review what we've done so far. So we finished off the discussion that we had from yesterday. So we had yesterday about get and shtar chov and about shtar shichor, but now we're talking about a shover. So we said you are allowed to return a shover if the woman admits that the husband did prepay the ksuba. So we said, why are you allowed to return it? We should have the same concern. So we had two answers. We had Rava said that it shows us that it's like Shmuel, that since Shmuel holds that a woman's allowed to forgive the debt even after she gives up rights to it, so that's why we're not concerned, because she still has rights to it, even after the fact, even after she gets rid of it. Rava says, no, we're talking about a situation where she was holding on to it, and we explained why each of them couldn't hold like the other one. So that's the first part of today. Now we get to the next Mishnah. So now the last Mishnah that we had was going through all the different shtaros that we do not return to people because we're afraid that it never actually happened. If you find the shtar halva, what we're afraid of is that I said I'm going to give Binyamin $1,000, right? I'm going to lend Binyamin $1,000, and I wrote up this whole document, but I never ended up giving it to him because I remembered I don't give things to Binyamin, I only steal from Binyamin. So of course I'm not going to give him anything. So then I remembered that. So now if someone finds this shtar, they're going to give it to one of us, it's going to cause major issues. We had the same thing by Shichur and by other things where maybe something didn't happen. That was our concern. But now we're going to go and talk about cases where you are allowed to go and give something back. Says the Mishnah, Matza igroshum, so let's say you find these letters of assessment, which basically means that, let's say there's a loan that happens, so I lend Binyamin money, so I do an assessment of Binyamin's properties in order to go and make sure that I can collect from them if something were to happen, that he would forfeit the loan, that I have to go collect from his properties. So if you find that document, the igros mazon, or you find this document of support, which is what? Rashi explains to us what this is, that this is talking about when someone gets married and it's a second marriage for the woman. So if someone gets married, they have to support their wife from the ksuba, but their wife's daughter, so their stepdaughter, how do we know that they have to support the children from the second wife? So that's what's called this igros mazon, this document which shows that you have to support those kids also. Shtare chalitza, a shtar that says that a chalitza took place. Umiyunin, or we have a star that has the fact that a miyun took place. What's a miyun? Anyone know?
Refusal.
Excellent. A refusal from a woman who, a good old girl. Exactly. She gets married by the mother and the brother. So once she gets older, she has this right of refusal to show that she has no shaykhas to this husband anymore. So a star miyun is very important. Star berurin. The Gemara is going to explain what exactly that is. The chol maisa beistin, hareza yachfir. Anything that beistin has to write, then you are allowed to return it.
In English, listed a situation.
Really?
Where there was a Ponzi scheme, and there was a business involved, and they're looking at all the Baruin.
He saw that there was a receipt situation. Yeah. By a Ponzi scheme.
To locate all the specifics.
In Basin, they're trying to locate all the specifics to see.
Yeah,
right, there you'd think
chain,
that.
The chain of ownership.
But there you'd think that there were certainly documents written up before there was actually payment made, right? So you have to be careful when.
Fraudulent or otherwise.
Wow.
Exactly.
Fascinating.
Anyway.
All right, good. You got to bring it to life. That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
So in this situation, kol maisa based in hareze yachter. Now, what would be the logic over here? What would be the svar over here? Any maisa based in, you're allowed to return.
Because based in doesn't pass unless they check it.
Excellent, because based in's watching something that happened, right? This happened right in front of us. There was a chalitza here, so they write up a shtar chalitza. There was a miyun, so they write up a shtar miyun. Anything that happened, we know for a fact it happened, so that, of course, you can return, because we know for a fact it happened. Matzah b'chafisa o b'dluskima, if someone found it in a kli, tachrish al shtaros o agudash al shtaros, so you found them, different shtaros bound together or tied together, harizeh yachs, you're allowed to return all these objects. V'kama agudash al shtaros, how many are in a bundle that it's considered a bundle of shtaros? Shloshik shurim zebazeh. We're talking about three shtaros tied together. That's right, we're getting close. A good little hint says we're dropping. So let's say you find three documents that all have the same borrower, but different lenders, so then you're going to return it to the borrower, right? Because it makes sense that this fell from his files because they're all his name. And if you find three documents all with the same lender, but different borrowers, it makes sense that you'd give it back to The lender, because it probably fell from his documents. So you're looking through all your documents and you see, oh yeah, this was my loan, this was when I lent someone, this is when I did this, this is my bank statement. Then you find a random document that has two random people. Now, I feel like you can't use like Saul as an example because you probably have a ton of random people, whatever it is. But if you're looking through, right, a lawyer, you got different people's documents, whatever it is. But anyway, if you find different people's documents, random Reuven and Shimon, who's nothing to do with you, and you're trying to think, oh, right, maybe I had something to do, I don't remember. So in that situation, just leave it there. Don't give it back to anyone. If you have a receipt, right? So if there are any receipts, let's say you're looking through your documents and you find this receipt, but you don't have no recollection of when, who, where, what, anything. So then, yasim mashem simfonos. You can assume that that's a valid receipt and assume that that was paid back, either that you paid or that it was paid back to you. Why? So we're going to have to discuss why receipts would be different. It sounds like you wouldn't keep around a receipt unless it was actually paid, right? So if the fact that you found it within your documents shows that this was actually done. Now, comes the Gemara and analyzes my shtarei birurin. So what is the shtar birur that we were talking about? So it's a machlokas. Hacha tergumu shtarei tanasa. So in Bavale would say that this is talking about shtarei tanasa, which is basically just like the minutes from the court session, meaning it explains out each side's tainas and goes and plays out what they were each trying to say. Rabbi Yirmiyah Omar, zebor aloecha v'zebor aloecha. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, no, it's talking about the process of choosing a judge, right? How do people choose a Sanhedrin? So let's say there are three Dayanim that need to be on a Sanhedrin. So someone has a court case with someone in, I don't know, Williamsburg, let's just say, you know, it's a different world, so to speak. So I would choose one judge, they would choose one judge, and then together those judges would choose a third judge. What'd you say? There you go, right? So it keeps it totally fair. It keeps it as clean as possible. So that's what this is referring to. That shtar, that's what the shtar berurin is referring to. Then we say, v'chol ma'isa beis din harizeh yachzir. So every ma'isa beis din, you're able to go in return because, again, it happened. Says Gemara, u'gita deshtakach be'dina deravuna. This is something that was seen earlier on daf yud ches. This was on a Shabbos Sunday daf. Says the Gemara. So there was a certain get that was found in the beis din of Rav Huna. Da'av akasiv be'i Bishvire Masa da'al Rachis Nahara. Then on the get, it was written that it took place in this place called Shvire, that it was on the Rachis River. Amar Rav Huna, and Rav Huna said, Chayshinan Lishnei Shvirim, top of Chafam and Beis now. We are Choshesh that there are two places Shvire, meaning even though there's only one couple with this name in this place, but maybe there's another Inglewood, California, right? You talk about Inglewood, New Jersey, and then there's Inglewood, California. It's Inglewood, right? It's with an I, right? I don't know. They always are. Lawrence, Kansas. Yeah, by the way, all the time on Waze. Always coming up Lawrence, Kansas. Exactly. No, I'm not going to Jeff's house in Kansas. All right, Lawrence, Kansas. So you have two different, you have to be Choshesh for Shnei Shvire. So Amar Le Rav Chista L'Rabba Pokayein Du'orta Bayle Bayle Rav Huna Minach. So go check it out because, Rav Chista said to Rabba, go check this out, go look into this, because tonight Rav Huna is going to ask you this question. Meaning, when you come to the Beis Medrash later, this is going to be the Shaila that he brings up. I remember when I was going for my Kolel Bechinas, or if Shechter goes and tests you, and he goes and tries to, the goal is to make you feel good at first, but then to like remind you, like you need to spend some time learning, right? That's ultimately the goal, you know, it's the last thing. So I remember we were learning Masechta Shabbos, so he starts out like very easy, like, what's a Davar Sheino Miskaven? And people gave me like a little bit of a heads up as to like some of his classic questions. You know, he's got a few Yesodos that go throughout Shas, like Edi L'Kaim, Adavar, and different things that he's got his sheetas on. So I'm like, okay, I'm getting ready. So first two questions, I nailed them, it's going pretty well. And then I saw it was time to switch that. So then he has one other one, and I was like kind of ready, but then the next four, it was not good. But anyway, got the point. I got to go sit learning for a little bit. Okay, anyway. So he gave him like a little test bank question. He said, this is the question that's coming, then I go look into it. So nafak dak v'ashkach tanan. So we looked into it, and he found our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, kol maisa beis din harizeh yachzir. Any maisa beis din, you got to give back. And this is a maisa beis din. This get that happened, it's a maisa beis din. How can you go learn out one from the other? You're going to go and teach me dinei mamonos from Isser v'heter, there's two totally different things. Here we're going to allow a get. Get has a lot more on the line. There's so much going on here. How can you possibly learn this out from Dine Mamonos in terms of Kol Maisa Beis Din? So Amar Leh, now this big rabbinic insult word, Tarda, you crazy person, idiot, whatever you want to say, Shtarei Chalitza Miyunatanan. Look at our Mishnah. It's not all just Dine Mamonos. Lunatic, right. It's not all Dine Mamonos. It has, we said Chalitza and Miyun. Those are both Isurim, right? Those are both talking about mottering someone, and we're talking about Mamzerus issues over there as well. It's a big deal. So Paka Arza. So right as they're having this machlokas in the Beis Medrash, so the beam made out of cedar split. It just like there was some sort of like big commotion in the base medrash. Something fell. So debate Rav Mar Amar. Mishum l'saidi dipaka, Omar Amar Mishum l'saidi dipaka. On each side of this dispute said, oh, that happened because of you, that happened because of you. So this is a bit like troubling that this is how they would talk and what they would do. So, you know, there's explanations. I think the Marsha says that this is because each of them was saying, no, you know what, because I spoke like that, you're right, or you're because we had a machlokas. Yeah, they're arguing about the rabbinic insult, right? Yachloka, you're saying it fits into Shnai Mokhsen, they're funny. That's pretty funny, but Yachloka, because it fits into Shnai Mokhsen. But yeah, they were arguing about this lunatic discussion as to who is what and what's going on and all this stuff. Dr. Abramson, my minute and a half car ride over, I usually listen to Dr. Abramson's Jewish history and halacha, so he spoke about this today, about this word, where it comes from, what type of lunatic. Is it a drooling lunatic? Is it not Tavra, this Tarda? Right, maybe that's what I'm talking about.
Retarded.
Yeah, by the way, that's a good point. Yeah. Wow, okay, I didn't think about that. Yeah, so that's probably what it is, right? That's probably what it is. Okay, here we go. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a T-Page. Okay, here we go. Well, you have the red stuff on the side. Isn't that made out of blood, right? The red stuff on the side of the arch scrolls? That's what they were saying? I saw that online. What? Christian blood. Yeah, I saw that on the side of the and online. That you see on your side of your Gemara over there, the red?
Yeah,
so that's Christian blood.
Oh, that's
yeah.
The new edition.
No, the new edition, yeah.
Like picking up the blood.
No, just like the red. The red on the side. Yeah. Okay, of course. All right, anyway, here we go.
Sure.
Yeah,
just came here. So, right, we're going to get canceled here. You're going to listen to our thing. It's going to be Baruch saying, yeah. And I'm not too worried about it. So if someone found a bag or a kli with it, my chafisa, so what is this chafisa? It's a small little leather pouch that they used to keep wine in. My deluskma, what's deluskma? Marav bar Shmuel, tlika desabe. It's like some sort of organizer that they would have. That's what we're referring to in terms of if you find the sharos here, then you're allowed to give it back. We said takra shastaros o agudas shastaros v'chul. So tana rabbanon. Kamu takra shastaros. So how much is this bundle of shtaros? Shlosha kruchim zebazeh. We're talking about three that's bundled on each other. V'kama hi agudas shastaros. How much is an aguda? Shlosha kshurim. So these are three tied together. So Shmas Mina, Ketzer Shimon. What seems to be from here, and this is something we're going to see just in a little bit in Eilu Metzias, it sounds like here, like the knot itself is a Simon. It says, but no, we said that it's just like three, one on top of the other. So the way it seems to come out is they're the exact same thing. Aguda and Tachrich are each three combined together. Says the Gemara, no, Tachrich, Kochad, Vachad, Barosha, Dechavre. No, a Tachrich is when each of the three, one is like on the head of the other one. And Aguda, Deramu, Ahadadu, Kruchos. And Aguda is when they're piled one on top of the other, so they're a little bit different. Says the Gemara, my Machris. So we said that there's going to be a Hachraza. Again, getting ready for Eilu Metzias, that you have to go and announce certain things in order to show that something is lost. So what do you announce in this situation? Says the Gemara, minion. You announce the amount of shtaros that were found. I found three shtaros. And then you're going to have to say, does someone come and claim that? Says Gemara, my area tlasa, fi utrin nami. Once you're announcing a number, why do you have to announce three? Announce two also. Ela kedama ravina, tava machris achanami, shtari machris. No, rather, just like when it comes to money, you just say, I found money, and you make the person come to you and say how much it was. So to over here, you say you found documents, and you make the person. Now, why does it have to be three, not two? Because if you say documents, plural, so everyone's going to guess two, right? So it's not a chiddush to tell me that it's two. But if you're able to tell me three, then that's something. Then that might be considered some sort of simon. Good. Here we go. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer Echad Alove Mishloshi Yachzer Alove. So we said that you're going to go and give it back to the Lova. If you find three documents that all have the same borrower, so you're going to go and give it back to the borrower because it probably fell from his possession. Because if you're going to tell me that you should give it back to the malva, why would the lender have three documents of borrowing that the borrower has? Why would he have that? So maybe all these people were coming to be mekayimit and based in. They were all coming to get it certified. No, we're talking about a situation where it was already mekayim. Maybe they fell from the same sofer and the sofer just dropped three documents and they all had this one person as the borrower. Lo mashe inish kiyum may be yada disafer. No, a person doesn't leave his shtaros by the sofer for long. It's not going to be there. That's not a possible situation. So we're now going to have the same Gemara, just the other way. Shlosha shalavu meachad yachzer lamalva. So let's say you have three documents with the same lender. So you're going to give it back to the lender. Says Gemara, "Disa k'raita t'lavin ninu." Because if you think you're going to go and give it back to the borrower, my bo gabe adadi, why would the borrower have three documents that really belong to the lender? Maybe he was going to get it written. No, d'ksivu b'tzlas yidei suffering. No, we're talking about where it was written by three different sofrim, so that's why it's going to be totally different. V'dilma l'kimyunu azle. Maybe he went to go be mekayim it. So no, malve mekayim stari, lo mekayim stari. A malve is someone who would want to go and get it certified, so that way he'll have an easier time collecting, right? So he wants to get this whole loan certified, so that way he can go and get it without any problem. But the love, he has no interest in getting it certified. He's going to leave it as it is. So either he'll pay back or he won't pay back. He doesn't want to get it certified. Then we said, Symphonos. So if you find receipts, you can go and trust the receipts that they were there. Now, key line over here, which we're going to have five questions on. Says the Gemara, Amar of Yirmiyah Barab, Amar of Amarav. Rav Yirmiyah Baraba says the name of Rav. Simfon ayotu mitachas yedei malve. So if you find a receipt in the hands of the malve, so again, I lend Binyamin money, and now you find the receipt in my possession. If it were to have really been paid off, where would the receipt be? By Binyamin, by the borrower. But it's in my possession. Afal pisha kasuv biksav yado, even though it's written in my handwriting, which means that clearly I wrote it up, and something happened, enu elokim misacheku puzzle. It's going to be a puzzle star, meaning I can assume that I can still go and collect from Binyamin. So if the receipt is found in my possession as the lender, I am still allowed to go and collect from it. I do not have to assume that that's going to be the case. Lo mi baya kasov biksav yad sofer, meaning we're not even talking about a situation where it was written by the sofer, dikol member safer isra'im elei v'kasov, where you could say that the sofer wrote it and therefore that's why maybe I could still collect from it. El afil kasov biksav yado pasul. But even if it's in my handwriting, which shows again that I acknowledge that there was a receipt written up, it's written in my handwriting, still I'm allowed to collect in such a situation. Why? What would be my logic? Why would I write up a receipt just for the heck of it? Maybe Binyamin's going to wait till right before Shabbos, and he's going to say, oh, I'm offering to pay you back right now. But I'm only giving you your money back if you give me a receipt. And he's going to come to me like 5 minutes before Shabbos, and there's no way I could possibly write up a receipt in time, so I'm smart. I say, you know what, I'm going to pre-write a receipt. So that way he's going to come to me 2 minutes before Shabbos, I'm going to say, bam. And then all of a sudden, he's going to have to give me back his money. So what I'm saying is that once he gives me the money, I'm going to go give him the receipt. We're going to be all set. I am totally prepared for this. So again, this is the statement of Rabbi Yirmiyah Baraba Amarav, that if as long as it's in the possession of the malve, of the lender, it's not going to be viewed as if it's been paid. But says Gemara, we have question number one now. Tanan, our Mishnah, im yeshimon symphonos, yashem mashem symphonos. We just said in our Mishnah, what did we say? That if you find a receipt, trust the receipt. We can go and trust that it has been paid back. So what's our Mishnah talking about? It says Gemara, Kedamar of Safra, Shenimtza, Bein Shtaros Kruin. Hachanami Shenimtza Bein Shtaros Kruin. So it's in your shredding pile. Meaning like, you know, like you have a pile of documents that you have, you just want to get rid of, so you want to put it in the shredding. So you find this receipt in the shredding, that's different than just finding the receipt in your other types of documents. Because now, it clearly was paid off. Otherwise, you wouldn't put it in your shredding getting ready to get rid of it. That's where we're talking about, where you're able to get rid of it. Says the Gemara, Shtaros Shneihem Pruin. And if we find that both of these are here, if you find the Shtaros of both of them, then we can assume that it was paid. Kedam Marav, Safra Shenimtza Bein Shtaros Kruin. Achanami, I skipped a line. Yeah, fine, thank you. I knew that didn't make any sense. Right, Shenimtza Bein Shtaros Kruin. Question number two. Toshma Nimtza Le'echad Bein Shtaros Bein Shtaros, Shtaros Shel Yosef Ben Shimon Parua, Shtaros Shneihem Pruin. So let's say you find within your Shtaros a Shtar of Yosef Ben Shimon, and you don't know. You have two loans with this guy with the same name, but you don't know which one it is, so you have to assume that both of them have been paid. So if that's the case, what do we see? That a receipt does count. Again, a receipt seemingly does trust. We do trust a receipt. Says the Gemara, Kedamar of Safra, Shenimtza Bein Shtaros Kruin, Achanami, Shenimtza Bein Shtaros Kruin. So the same answer again. We found it in your shredding, and once it's in your shredding, we can assume that the reason why it's getting ready to get ripped up, or it's amongst your ripped stuff, is because it was already paid. Tashma, question number three, Shavua Shalom Pakdono Abba, Vishalo Amar Lanu Abba, Vishalo Matsanu Bein Shtaros of Shalaba Shestar Zeparua. So what's the case over here? We're talking about orphans. We're talking about people who lost their fathers. So now, one orphan is going to the other and saying, oh, your father owed my father money. I'm coming to collect from it. So before we allow anyone to collect, they have to make a shvua. You have to make a shvua that your father didn't go and tell you anything, that it was paid as a shliv mera, or he didn't tell you anything about it, or he didn't find any shtaros from your father. In order to go and collect, you have to prove, or you have to at least swear that your father never took care of this. But what do we see? Again, we believe. that if you did find this shtar, then we would believe it. So we see again that we do trust these receipts. Says the Gemara again, Amar of Safra Shinimtza Bein Shtaros Kruin. Again, same answer for the third time. Question number four, Toshma'a, Simfon Chieshalov, Edim, Yiskayim Mechosmov. So if you have a receipt that has Edim, so you can go and certify it with those signatures. Oh, what do we see from here again? That you do trust a receipt. Says the Gemara, Ema Yiskayim Mechosmov. No, we're saying that you can go and certify it from the signatures. D'shailinan Lehu Lesade, I Parua, Ilo Parua. That you can go and certify the fact that these Edim were there. And then you can go and ask those Edim, was this paid or was this not paid? Says the Gemara, question number five, Toshma, Simfon Chieshalov, Edim Kasher. So we see that what? If you have a receipt that has Edim, then it's Kasher, meaning that it counts as a valid receipt, right? It counts as a valid receipt. So what do we see? Again, that we trust a receipt, says the Gemara. No, my Edim, what are we talking about? We say Edim, Ede Kiyum. We're talking about Ede Kiyum over here. Look at Rashi. Rashi says Ede Kiyum, Shekasvo Henpik, Tebedina, Lomakai Mele, Ela Imkein Parua. So they're there to go and write this certification. They only sign on this if it was actually paid. So we're talking about Ede Kiyum. Hachanami Mistaber, Midikani Seif, Avshena, Love Edim Pasol. So this also seems to be Mistaber from the fact that we said at the end that if there are no Edim, then it's possible. My ina love Edim. What does it mean that there are no Edim? Ile medeleka ilave Edim kal. If you're going to tell me that this means that there are no Edim at all, so tzricho memar de puzzle, then of course it's going to be puzzle. If there's no Edim, then why would I think that it's going to be kosher? Elav edekiyim. No, we're talking about rather that there's no edekiyim. These extra Edim that sign this extra certification that show me that it's going to be really there. Now, comes the Gemara and analyzes the statement. Gufa, we said, Simfon Chieshalov, Edim, Yiskayim, Mechosmov. So we have a receipt that has Edim, so you can go and be Mekayim it with the signatures. Einalav Edim, if it does not have Edim. V'yotze mitachas yidei shlish, and it's in the hand of a third party. Osh yotze la'achar chitum shtaros, kosher. Or there's something written on the bottom of this actual loan document that says that it was paid. Right? You have this kind of mini receipt on the bottom of the loan document itself. It's kosher and we trust it. So why do we trust it in those situations? So yotze mitachas yidei shlish, why do we trust it when it's in the hand of a third party? Dahem ne milov malve lishlish, because clearly the lender trusted this third party to go and give him this document, and that's why it's in his possession. So that's why we could trust that it was paid. Yotze lachar achitom shtaros nami di ilav depriya lo hava mari leishtare. And I can trust the fact, if I see the word paid on the bottom of our loan document, I can assume that it was paid. Why? Because the malva, the lender, is not going to want to ruin the document for no reason. The fact that he allowed you to write on this document, paid, shows that clearly it was paid, and that's why it's going to be the case. Hadron Alach Shnayim Oksin, this is the end, Baruch Hashem, of Shnayim Oksin. So let's just review what we did today. So we started with the whole Matzah Shover, that if you find this receipt, then you are allowed to go and give it back. We had, but you shouldn't be able to. So we had two answers as to why it would be different. Maybe that when it comes to prepaying a ksuba, when it comes to any shtar chov, the person who is selling their debt is able to cancel it at any time, right? This is what like all banks do with mortgages, right? They sell all the mortgages and you go and do that. You're able to go and do that. But Abaye said, no, even without that, you could say that you're still holding on to the shtar. But then we had our Mishnah. If you just read the Mishnah, we'll get each part of our Gemara. So we said that when it comes to finding anything that's a Maisa based in, you're able to return that. Why? Because again, they verified that this happened. This is coming in after the fact. This isn't something that you're trying to preempt. This is something after the fact. We said if it's bound up, if it's tied together, if there's a bunch of them together, all of those things. If there's three together of the Lova or three of the Malva, you give it back to that person. We said if you find something that you don't know whose it is, you just hold on to it. And then we said if you have a receipt, then you hold on to that receipt. You're able to trust that receipt. So we had a lot of different We said, what is a Shtar Beirin? We had two different cheetahs for that. We had the story of the get and comparing Isura to Mamona, and then that's going to be okay. We spoke about the different things that you could find it in, and we ended up with this whole situation. We had Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Amarav saying that if you find a receipt in the property of the Malva, then it's always going to be a joke and it's never going to be kosher. We had five questions, and we ultimately said, yeah, that's without Edei Lekayim Hadavar. If you have Edei Kiyum, then maybe you would be able to collect in that situation. That is the end of the first parak, end of Daf Chaf. Mirza Shemin should only be continued success for our Chabura.